Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Tabrit's third quarter 2017 financial results analyst conference call. Today's speaker will be Steve Ridlington, CFO, and I'll hand over to your host. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Saket Somani from Tabrit. On behalf of Tabrit management team, I welcome you all and thank you for joining us for the Q3 results conference call. Before we begin this presentation, I would like to remind you that some of the statements made in today's conference call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risk and uncertainties. Kindly refer to the second slide of the presentation for the detailed disclaimer. I would now request you to turn to slide 3 for today's agenda. On today's call, we'll first provide an overview of 9 months 2017 results and performance and some key business developments, followed by a detailed performance discussion. We will then open the lines for your questions. With that, I would now like over the conference to Steve Ridlington, our CFO, to begin the today's presentation. Thank you, and over to you, Steve.
Thank you, Saket, and good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this call today. Turning to slide 4, I'll begin by highlighting our year-to-date Q3 2017 performance and provide a snapshot of recent events. First, in the first 9 months of 2017, we reported strong performance with 14% increase in chilled water revenues and 8% increase in net profit. This was driven by over 100,000 tonnes of consolidated capacity additions since the middle of last year, higher consumption volumes and pass-through of utility tariff increases in Abu Dhabi. Going forward, we expect robust growth in both top and bottom lines on the back of continued good performance from our chilled water business segment. Turning to other events, in October, Tabrit stock was certified as Sharia compliant and is included in the list of Sharia compliant companies on the DFM exchange. This will potentially broaden the shareholder base and therefore improve liquidity. As you are aware, Mubadala converted all of the MCBs into equity shares, and simultaneously Engie, the multinational energy leader, acquired a 40% stake of Tabrit. Mubadala retained a 42% interest and continues to be our largest shareholder. We also expanded our top management team with two new additions, a chief operating officer and a chief development officer. Both joined Tabrit from Engie and will bring significant industry experience as we progress to the next phase of growth. You may also have seen our new website with a new investor relations section. I hope you find this useful, and please provide us with any feedback and suggestions for improvement. Moving on to the next slide, Tabrit at a glance, this is slide 5. This provides our usual overview of the company, and I won't dwell on it for long. Tabrit is contributing to the region's growth through efficient and environmentally friendly cooling and solutions, enabling sustainable development. As our business grows, so does our positive environmental footprint. We currently operate 72 plants across the region, delivering almost 1.1 million refrigerated tons of cooling. Our operations saved 1.4 billion kilowatt hours of energy consumption in 2016. Enough to power 48,000 homes per year. Turning next to slide 6, again, the usual slide we include on our regional operations. Tabrit is the only publicly traded district cooling company in the world. UAE is our base of operations, where we have a presence in 6 Emirates, providing over 770,000 tonnes of cooling to our customers through 63 plants. In addition to the UAE, we work with key strategic partners in 4 other GCC countries. We have a total of 9 plants outside of the UAE, providing over 316,000 refrigerated tons of cooling to customers. Around 65% of our capacity is consolidated, while the rest is equity accounted as associates or joint ventures. Turning to slide 7, this is a new slide in which we've just pulled out a little bit more detailed on connected capacity for the company. At the beginning of this year, we announced that we expected to add at least 60,000 refrigerated tons of new connected capacity by the end of 2018. During the first 9 months of 2017, we have added 38,000 tons across the region, and this chart demonstrates where that has been delivered within the consolidated capacity, UAE, Bahrain and Oman, and then the equity accounted ventures in the UAE, Qatar and Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. Of this capacity addition, 17,000 tonnes was added at the consolidated level and 21,000 through joint ventures and associates. We expect most of the remaining 22,000 tonnes, making up the 60,000 tonnes of capacity additions, to be delivered through joint ventures and associate companies. So we're not expecting within that 60,000 tonnes, the remaining 22,000 tonnes, not much of it will be in our consolidated consolidated capacity additions. Tabreed has demonstrated its ability to deliver a steady increase in connected capacity in the region, driven by the growth in our key markets across the GCC, and by successfully leveraging our regional network to take advantage of commercial opportunities as and when they present themselves. The 60,000-ton target capacity additions represents capacity that is already fully contracted, and as such, we see this as a minimum target. We are very confident of achieving at least this figure by the end of 2018. Turning next to headline performance on slide 8. This is the usual slide that recaps the evolution of our performance in recent years. And just to summarise, Tabreed is a stable utility infrastructure business with long-term contracts with high-profile customers. This provides us clear visibility of future earnings and cash flows. We currently have 95% of our capacity contracted for at least the next 10 years. Tabreed has a track record of delivering profitable growth. Our EBITDA and net income has grown at 4 and 6% annually, respectively, since 2014. Our stable earnings enable the company to maintain an attractive dividend payout. Our dividend has been rising over recent years, with 2016 payout around 50% of earnings. Let me now go to the next section of the presentation and talk about the results, the financial results, in a little bit more detail. So slide 10, income statement, compares the 9 months of 2017 with a similar period for 2016. And throughout this part of the presentation, I will focus on those numbers. Overall, revenue growth has been 9%, driven by the strong chilled water business. The 14% increase in chilled water revenue is driven by four key things. First, new capacity additions, which have contributed 7%, or approximately half of that increase in chilled water revenue. Utility tariff increases in Abu Dhabi led to a further 5% increase as the tariff was passed through to customers. Third, 2016 published UAE CPI was 1.62%, which has already been passed on to a majority of the customers as escalation on capacity charges. And finally, additional revenue from Oman and Bahrain contributed about 1% of that 14%. Turning to the other businesses, a reduction in order books at our pipe fabrication company was the main reason behind the 38% decline in revenue from value chain businesses. Associates and joint ventures were up 14%, mainly reflecting new connections in Qatar. Overall, net income increased by 8%, though margins were slightly compressed because of the higher share of lower margin consumption revenue in the total. I'm just going to take a minute here to talk about Q3 on Q3 standalone results, because I think that warrants a little bit of attention in the call today. So whilst these numbers are not on the slide here, I've just got a few words to say about Q3 standalone on Q3. A comparison of standalone Q3 2017 against Q3 2016 shows a decline in total net income and also a very small decline in chilled water gross profits. The primary driver behind the decline in net income is our value chain businesses, spread across two or three of these businesses. Trading conditions have been difficult in 2017, though overall these businesses continue to be profitable. There was also, as I said, a very small decline in chilled water gross profits. This mainly reflects a one-off gain of approximately 5 million dirham relating to a one-time settlement of an O&M fees paid to Debreed by one of our UAE joint ventures. So that 5 million increased 2016 Q3 and therefore made the comparison with Q3 2017 slightly down. Overall, however, nine-month results, which are a more reliable indicator of underlying performance, show strong growth on a year earlier, and we expect that trend to continue. Turning to slide 11, the financial position. Our balance sheet remains strong, with the recent highlights being, first of all, timing delays and seasonal impacts led to an increase in receivables at the end of September 2017, compared to the end of December 2016. However, we have seen strong collections in October 2017, correcting those timing delays. And just a word on seasonality. Q3 is our peak consumption quarter, as it's the hottest quarter of the year, and hence we have higher receivables in that quarter. Of the total increase in receivables compared to December last year, almost half is due to the seasonal impact. So overall, the receivable position, having taken into account the collections in October, remains strong. Movements in the liability side of the balance sheet are dominated by the conversion of the MCBs into ordinary shares in August. The conversion substantially increased equity and reduced debt on the extinguished liability components of the bond. Gearing at 41% remains in line with global utilities. We will discuss the debt portfolio in the subsequent slide. We ended the 9 months with approaching 400 million dirhams of cash on the balance sheet. In summary, to breed strong, robust balance sheet positions us well for future growth opportunities. Let me now talk to the next slide on the cash flow statement. I'm pleased to report that Tabreed continues to generate strong cash flows, which are being utilized to invest in growth opportunities and provide dividend returns to our shareholders. In the first 9 months of 2017, operating cash flow was 12% higher than the same period a year earlier, reflecting robust profit from operations. We continue to invest in new cooling capacity, paying approximately 100 million dirhams to acquire the ICT plant, the Nations Tower plant from ICT. This is on the Corniche in Abu Dhabi. In summary, our cash generation ability remains robust, driven by long-term price certain contracts, enabling investment and growth. Let me now turn to developments with our debt portfolio. So slide 13 shows the usual background on Tabreed's debt portfolio. Key points to note are, first, Tabreed has over 3 billion dirhams of debt, which equates to a gearing ratio of 41%, as I've already mentioned, in line with global utility benchmarks. The debt is largely floating rate, but we have recently increased our hedge ratio to further de-risk against rate increases. Currently, 73% of our total debt is hedged into fixed rates. We have a strong leverage profile and headroom available to fund future growth opportunities. This completes the detailed review of the nine-month results. So turning to slide 15, just to conclude before the Q&A, a few the usual closing comments. 2017 has been a good year, and we have made good progress in the first 9 months of the year, both in terms of revenue and profits. We provided capacity addition guidance of 60,000 tonnes to be added over the next 2 years, and delivered 38,000 tonnes in the first 9 months of 2017. Tabreed has a flexible capital structure to fund the future growth. The conversion of mandatory convertible bonds will save us over 150 million dirhams in future coupon payments, and we've been pleased to welcome ENGIE as a new major shareholder. Tabreed has a stronger shareholder base with Mubadala and ENGIE providing support to operations and growth. Further, the recent Sharia compliance status could potentially enhance liquidity and the shareholder base. That concludes the presentation for today. Thank you for joining us, and we'll now take any questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now start our Q&A session. If you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding until we have our first question. Our first question is from Mehta from Waha Capital. Please go ahead.
Results and thanks for taking time for the call. Just wanted to ask you about the third quarter results details. I mean, when you adjust for that approximately 5 million settlement gain in the third quarter 2016, I see the gross profit growth year on year still at 2%, while the capacity gain over like the 9 months year to date was around 3.5%. That's why I was expecting something like 5% growth in the gross profit year on year, and it came slightly weaker. Just would you please comment on that? And the second question is that I see that you have reduced the SG&A expenses year on year around 9%. Are these sustainable going forward, or do you plan to make more cost reductions? And my third question is that JVs and associates net income contribution is also around 10% lower year on year. What is the reason for that? Thank you.
Thank you, Metahan, for those good questions on the third quarter results. First of all, on the Q3 versus Q3, there are one or two other things going on within those results, and in particular the profile of capacity additions when you compare is somewhat different. So the main factor is, as I said, that O&M fee that we received, but there are one or two other small things going on. The underlying performance, I think, remains very good, and I think you'll continue to see that coming through as our results progress through the year. Regarding G&A, I wasn't quite sure. I didn't quite get the question that you asked there. Was it about the rate of growth or?
I see that you have reduced the SG&A expenses slightly year on year compared to the third quarter. Do you plan to make more cost reductions, or is there like a cost reduction scheme that's going on?
Well, actually, I mean, that G&A figure includes a lot of things besides cost. So I don't think you should see that as a cost reduction initiative per se. Clearly, it is very important to us that we keep our costs under control. But there are other things that go inside that figure which are not related to staff and G&A costs, which move up and down a little bit. So that's not an indication of cost reduction going forward. And in terms of associates and joint ventures, as we've said many times before, there is an element of the lumpiness in the profile with some of our associates. And therefore, you know, they do vary quarter to quarter a little bit. I think it's much better to look at the overall trend in these, looking at year on year, 3 to 9 months on 9 months, full year on full year increases. So I'm not seeing any particular trend in that figure that you're quoting there.
Yeah, but generally, like the two concerns that I had, and that's why I wanted to ask you those concerns right now, were I just want to make sure if there are any like rate reductions done by the clients, or any like are there any other like cost increases that cannot be passed on to the end customers? Just wanted to get an idea around that.
Certainly I can absolutely confirm that there's none of that going on in these results that you're seeing today. So we've had utility price increases in Abu Dhabi. They have been fully passed through to our customers in line with the contracts. We've had CPI increases, which again have been passed through. What we're talking about here are sort of one-off items that are influencing the profile of the results. But underlying, as I said earlier, the trend is positive. There are no cost pressures that are influencing these results, and there's certainly no inability to pass through costs or tariff adjustments going on. It is all about one-off items, which you will see smooth themselves out and level out as we move forward from here.
Yeah. And I guess there are also no, any rate reductions imposed on you by the clients, because, your client base is very concentrated as well, 50% of the government clients, and they don't have, any... They haven't had any influence on the results, I guess.
All I can do is to repeat, Metehan, that there has been no tariff reduction.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Our next question is from Sanjay Manibandhu from NBAD Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I have one or two questions. The first one is about ICT. The question really is, what do you think the addressable market is, or the addressable total is in terms of acquiring things like ICT, in terms of consolidation in the Abu Dhabi district cooling market? And there's also the question on the addressable market in Dubai. I think we've seen that one of the partners in Emicool is buying out the other partner. Does that mean that it's much more difficult for you to mop up district cooling companies that are a lot smaller in Dubai than in Abu Dhabi? And the third question is, you mentioned that you have appointed a COO and a CDO that came from ENGIE. When do you think we'll be able to see the benefit from the ENGIE acquisition of 40% in Interbreed? Would it be a matter of quarters, or would it be a matter of years till we see the benefit of that? Thank you.
Some very good questions. First of all, the addressable market in Abu Dhabi. I mean, what the addressable market is really anybody's guess. I mean, what I can tell you is that we have a 75% approximate market share in Abu Dhabi. There are other competitors here, but they are generally quite small. And we talk to most of them, and, as we have said on these calls and on other in the past, we are very open to acquiring other district cooling companies, regardless of their size, as long as it makes economic sense. But you'd have to say that the addressable market in Abu Dhabi is smaller than potentially in Dubai. I mean, I think that's pretty clear. In terms of Dubai, I mean, even if it is a bigger addressable market, it is also dominated by a small number of fairly large players. I have no idea what is whether one partner is buying out another partner in Emicool. That is a question you'd have to put to the shareholders of that company. But changes like that don't really change our view of those markets. It's a market that we're very keen to grow in, both organically and, if possible, inorganically. But it's a bit more difficult because they are bigger players. They have potentially bigger aspirations. So, the same thing applies. If opportunities arise, we'll have a look at them, and we'll take the steps that we can to grow our market share, which we would be very keen to do. In terms of the time period over which we expect to see results from the COO and the CDO that we've hired, I think that's a very difficult question, and it's probably an unfair question, if you don't mind me saying so, at this point in time. The two gentlemen concerned have only just started with us. They're beginning to get their feet under the desk. We're really looking forward to working with them and seeing what they can bring. But I think it would be not something to talk about to try and predict now whether and to what extent benefits will be seen, or when and to what extent, I should sort of say, not whether. So let's give them some time to get into the company, and I'm sure this is something we'll talk about again in the future when there's something to say.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you wish to ask any further questions, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. We have a question from Alia El-Mehmli from CI Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I guess my main question is just regarding the gross margin you reported in Q3, because it is lower even year on year. So acknowledging the fact, you know, that Q3 is a seasonally high quarter for consumption revenue. I just want to understand, obviously, as you mentioned, even there have been increases in utility prices, but is this a new norm? Because that would shape margins, I guess, even going forward, right?
Yeah, it's a very good point, a very perceptive, Ali. Yeah, there's a couple of things that affect our margin. Well, there's one thing, that is the mix of consumption and capacity revenue. That is the biggest driver of margins, as you appreciate. And within that, there are two things that can change the mix. One is seasonal factors, which you pointed out already. Mm-hmm. So in the middle of the year, this time of year, 3Q particularly, we have a bigger share of consumption revenue in the total. And so since consumption margins are lower than capacity, that brings the overall margin down a little bit. And then, of course, there's utility prices, which in Abu Dhabi you would say would tend to be to be increasing over time rather than reducing. Not sure about Dubai, where the tariffs are much higher. So to the extent there might be a trend in consumption revenue over time in Abu Dhabi, it would be upwards as utility prices move towards market. So I think you can see that there is a bit of a seasonal element, and there may be also a trend, though how that trend will play out is all about when will utility prices increase in Abu Dhabi, and of course that's not something we can sit here and predict.
Yeah, okay, because, I mean, it's something that was on my mind, but I guess the magnitude of the, because Q3 this quarter was the first one third quarter, after the tariff increases, I think I was expecting the blended margin to be a bit higher. So I wanted to check if there is absolutely nothing that's changed in terms of your capacity charges or a new capacity that you've consolidated.
Absolutely no change to capacity charges. As I mentioned earlier to Metahan, that's absolutely clear. The utility price increase was effective the 1st of Jan this year, not just the third quarter. But as you said, it was a fairly big increase. The previous increase a couple of years ago was one fill, and this was four, so it was a bigger impact. And that's why I think you're seeing that little bit of margin squeeze as a result. But I just want to confirm again, this is nothing to do with underlying performance of the business, costs, sure, or capacity tariffs.
Okay. Thank you.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, we have no further questions. Dear speakers, back to you for the conclusion. We have two further questions registering. Mr. Sharif Faraha from Amwal Capital Partners, please go ahead.
Question on the value chain business. As you said, it was much weaker versus 9 months 2016 last year. So if you could just kind of elaborate on what happened there.
Yeah, I mean, we have two primary value chain businesses. We have a pipe fabrication company, which provides the piping for the networks, chilled water networks. And we have a consultancy company. And both of those, as the market generally has been a little weaker in recent times, both of those companies have suffered with reduced orders and work. So this has really been a phenomenon, I think, about the last 9 to 12 months. I think there are signs that maybe this is bottoming out, but I mean, I can't confirm that. But it's looking like things may be getting a little better. But that
has your question been answered?
Just one quick question. Sorry about on that. Do you disclose like the net income contribution of the business? Is it breaking even? Has it turned loss making?
Hi, sorry, I think we lost the line there, so apologies for that, but we're back now. I don't know, Sharif, are you still there? Did you hear my answer, or do I need to do it again?
No, I heard your answer. I was just wondering if do you give like a gross margin breakdown of that business? I mean, maybe this year versus last year, gross profit or net profit, just to get an idea.
We can do that. I probably won't do it on the phone here. It's probably not a good use of time, but we can. We'll get in touch with you offline and do that. Provide that.
Great. Thank you. Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask any further questions, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Our next question is from Davy Arora from ADC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, just a question on the consumption side. So as you have said, the utility prices went up in Abu Dhabi significantly in the first quarter or on 1st of Jan. So just to check, as you have passed it on to the consumers already, as you said, has the consumer been cautious in terms of consumption? On a like-for-like basis, do you see people try to take a cut on the consumption just to save on money? That's it.
No, we haven't seen that, actually, no. Consumption volumes are at or above the levels of last year overall, so that's not something we've seen.
Okay, and you have also disclosed regarding that when NG comes in, so you will try to grow out of the region. So any plans on that or anything you're studying right now?
I think we need to give ourselves a little bit of time here. I appreciate you're keen to know, and so are we. But I think it's a little bit early, so there are no current plans that we have or can talk about at this point in time. But I assure you, as soon as we've got something to say in these areas, we surely will.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask any further questions, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. We have a question from Mohammed Tariq. Please go ahead.
Rather an immaterial figure, but what is other gains and losses?
Sorry, I'm just checking that. I don't have those details in front of me. Just hold on a second. Actually, I don't have that information with me. I apologise. It's a relatively small number.
No, there's
if,
one
if
other
you
question,
get
which is
online, then we can help you with that.
Yeah, one other question, if I may. In the current global environment with increased global warming, I have been informed by professionals in the industry that the temperatures this year, around July and August, in Abu Dhabi in particular, exceeded 50 degrees centigrade. And most compressors, what they told us was, we have a logistics company here, which is cooled by compressors. And what they said was that the compressors were working overtime and they tend to then break down. In your industry, is there a capacity limitation in terms of how much heat equipment can take before there is a breakdown of any kind, i.e. with the increased consumption?
Uh, Well, we obviously, I think the short answer to your question is no. So we design with the current temperatures in the region in mind. We generally have some excess capacity that we build in, which allows us to run a little bit harder in the summer months when we need to. So so far we haven't seen those issues, and we don't expect to.
I see. That's interesting. Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask any further questions, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask any further questions, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. We have a question from Metehan Mehta from Waha Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, I just wanted to ask a follow-up question on the Qatar issue. I know that you have received the dividends so far for 2017, but have you been notified of any problems receiving the future dividends, given the FX issues in the Qatar, like for the following periods? Thank you.
Thanks, Metehan. As you rightly said, and I think we've said before, we receive a dividend once a year, and that we received earlier this year in the first quarter. We wouldn't typically be expecting another dividend until the same time next year, so that's several months away. You know, it's something we'll address in the circumstances at the time, so there's not really very much to say at this point. In terms of the venture itself, again, as we've said before, it is a standalone entity. So, did you hear the answer to the last question?
He's no further on the line. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask any further questions, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. We have no further questions. Dear speakers, back to you for the conclusion. This concludes today's conference call. Thank you all for your participation. You may now disconnect.